The big list this week on Destructomundo.
It's on. It's on. There's no sound. Play with the rabbit ears.
Reports, incredible as they seem, are not the results of mass hysteria.
Mass hysteria. Apparently they think we're imagining all this. Shut up!
Destructomundo.
Yes.
Version 1.
Version 1. Yeah, there's no way we're going to get this whole list in one episode, yes. Are we?
Any good list always needs to be amended.
Right.
Yeah.
It's always a work in progress.
So
this is the big list of stuff you should have if you hope to
survive. Yeah, just about anything. It shouldn't be that specific. I mean, there's always going to be specific things for specific operations.
Yeah. You have to distinguish between what you need and what you can get. Like, I wouldn't put loaf of bread on the list.
No, it'll get squished.
Or gasoline.
It's like, if you put it in your
rucksack. If it's stuff that you can get.
At the bottom, it's just going to wind up getting squished.
Like, just basic stuff.
Well, that...
You don't want to carry around too much crap, either.
No.
So...
True.
Nope.
Don't get 1,000 rounds of ammo. Because where are you going to put it?
Sure.
Need some, but...
Bury it in your backyard. Just don't forget where you bury it.
That's right. You got to have a map.
And don't bury it too deep, because you may not have a lot of time to dig it up.
Well, that's just it. It's important that you know where you put stuff, and you should have places to put things, and that maybe is the first thing that should be on the list is...
Something to carry.
Some place to put stuff, whether it be like a portable item, like a backpack or a rucksack.
Your parents' garage.
Or your parents' garage, exactly.
Right. Yeah.
Locker at the airport.
You go up in the crawl space and crawl over to above your neighbor's place and start.
Right.
No, you can only do that
if
you live in certain...
I guess a backpack would be a good idea. Some kind of...
Well, I remember...
Like load-carrying gear.
Is the Alice pack still the backpack that the Army uses? Is
Unfortunately.
I remember having an Alice pack.
It's been upgraded and modified somewhat, but it's essentially the same thing.
I would lose things in my Alice pack. Like, had so many freaking pockets. You'd put something in there, and it would, just be something small in one of the side pockets, and you'd lose it. I mean, it would just be so hard to find that, if you didn't remember exactly where you put it, later on you'd, look for it. And
that's why you should put little things.
You get a Sharpie, and you mark the pocket
inside. Was camouflage. What the hell?
Don't get a camouflage pack.
Put little stuff into little bags, and then put the little bags into bigger bags, and then put those bags into your Alice pack.
Yeah.
Whatever kind of backpack you can afford.
Yeah.
Want to be a real gear geek, you can go buy a $178 raid pack, but...
Yeah.
But, any decent size, something a little bigger than, like, a day pack, Not a tiny one, but a good sort of basic... hiking style camping backpack.
Yeah, day packs have always done me right as far as like what I needed to carry around for the most part. But if the one time you actually go someplace with it and you pack it all the way full of stuff and it's bulging out, it just sucks to wear.
Yeah.
And you try to get like,
you don't necessarily have to, it's not a bad idea to have some spare room in there because there's the possibility that you could come across other stuff that you need, and then you might need some space to carry.
And you're pillaging.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Salvaging.
That's why you don't need that much.
Scrounging.
If you want to call it that.
Scavenging, scrounging.
So what are we going to throw in our bug out bag?
Well, if we've decided that the backpack or the rucksack is the...
The rucksack?
Rucksack.
What about a tack vest?
That wouldn't fit.
I'm not...
Can I carry anything in my tactical vest?
You can have a tactical vest, but you have to put it in a closet and promise never to wear it unless the shit comes out.
You gotta get the one with the magazines for like the MP5 magazines, because you can stick Go-Gurt in there.
Well, that's, yeah, exactly. I think we've kind of like talked about that, haven't we?
That's in the...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like Go-Gurt. The most Go-Gurt. Important thing. Yeah. Go-Gurt's
it's
on
for,
the list.
For SMG stick mags.
Because nothing tastes better after a hot day of marching than a pack of Go-Gurt you've had in your
that's warm.
Pocket all
yeah.
day long.
But it's yogurt that doesn't spoil. It's warm.
Yeah, I bet. You eat some
no, well,
hot yogurt.
Well, it's chock-full of preservatives. It's like, you know... There's Velveeta. There's cheese that's fine at room temperature.
Yeah.
So it's a question of preservatives.
I suppose. I mean,
you probably don't need to carry that much food. I would probably yeah. carry...
Water.
A lot of water.
Of course.
Get a Camelback.
Water's like your first... I mean, that's a...
And you need some kind of food.
Yeah.
Just the backup stuff if you can't find anything. You can get yeah. MREs if you want. But
well, how do you power, fill a Camelback? Is it like filling a canteen? Because, I mean,
you
have
to
have a...
It's got a big hole on the
there's
top
a,
with the screw top, and you just... Fill it full
there's
of water.
There's a reservoir bag that comes out.
Oh, okay.
And you fill the bag. It looks sort of like a big giant IV bag.
Oh.
But it's blue,
it's
kind of rubbery, plasticky stuff. And you fill that, and it's got a screw thing that seals on it, and then you slide that down into the pack.
Mm.
And then the tube runs out. And you... Those things are awesome.
They're very convenient.
Yeah, they look pretty cool.
Yeah.
Canteens are going the way of the dinosaur.
Yeah. Because I've been using one recently when I'm out. Like walking and jogging and stuff in this type of heat, it's awesome.
Then you get a wine flask.
What the?
That's the
like
best.
A D&D list. I want an oil skin, torch,
10 feet of rope,
10 foot pole.
No, this is 50 feet of rope.
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
10 foot pole.
And 10 foot pole.
If you had money, you could get silk rope.
Ooh. And don't forget your iron rations.
Yes. But,
well, we're not.
Water's a hugely important thing. You know. That and then some type of even just like you know
power bars
power sauce bars.
Yeah, God, I hate those things though, man. They're nasty.
The power apples.
You got nothing else, you'll eat them.
Well, I'm just saying. I mean, they're
Hula
gross.
Bars?
I'm not real big on them. One time,
but
though,
they're really small. They're flat, yeah. And you can pack a shitload of them. Trust
yeah.
me.
Yeah, have you ever had
before.
A Luna bar? You're not supposed to eat them because if you're a guy, it says for women on it. It's
yeah.
seriously, it's a candy bar that's only for women. I think that's funny, but yeah, it's I've had one. I stole one of my roommates' Luna bars once and tried it, and it was absolutely disgusting. It was the worst tasting candy bar I've ever had.
They're not candy bars.
Well, it's supposed to taste halfway decent. I don't understand how come everything natural has to taste like crap.
Well, because
mostly powdered. That's why.
Yeah, and a lot of the ones that
it's
are
powdered,
you know, they don't the ones that are meant to be. The ones that are like pure energy, there's a lot of sugar in them because you can get energy pretty quickly from sugar. But some of them are a little more nutritionally minded, and they're like low sugar.
Mm-hmm.
And chocolate without sugar in it is just wrong.
Yeah, very.
It's like wood filler.
Yeah. It's some nasty stuff.
So some
right.
kind of like... Non-perishable,
yeah.
Like beef
so, I mean,
jerky.
You know, yeah, you can.
I'm down with beef jerky.
You can try different of those bars, and if you find some you like, you know, having 10 or 15 of those around,
right?
And well, you'll eat anything if you're hungry you know? Enough, and whatever's going to give you the maximum amount of protein or carbohydrates if you're, you know, really
yeah.
moving,
yeah.
you know, is important to have, and you know, whether it tastes good or not. I'm, and Ted and I have talked about this before, but I'm all about the macaroni and cheese bar. You see, and I think you can make these at home and no problem. All you have to do is just make up some macaroni and then put it in the refrigerator right afterwards. You know, you put it in a good-sized casserole, you know, rectangular casserole.
You know what you could do? You
and
could
then
get
flatten
those.
It out and then cut it up into bars, and there you go. Macaroni and cheese bars, man. Don't steal my idea.
How are they going to keep?
You put them in plastic baggies. And you eat them right away. You don't. I don't know about you, but I can sit down and eat a whole bowl of macaroni and cheese, no problem, without any help.
Well,
servings
I'm not,
my ass.
I'm not questioning that.
I don't think macaroni and cheese is going to keep.
Yeah, that's what
well,
I'm saying.
It'll keep for the afternoon. I mean,
well,
you
this
can,
is the this is the end of days.
Well,
it'll be a long.
That's what I'm saying,
afternoon.
Though. I mean, all you need to make macaroni is boiling water and a little bit of milk. I mean, just a little bit, a quarter cup, and if
you don't
have
milk,
you can make it with butter too. You know, you don't even have to have.
No,
milk.
The Kraft stuff, you don't even need milk. You can make it with water and that powdered cheese.
Yeah,
I mean,
well,
it's,
no,
it's,
you need. Well, you can do it. Yeah, you can do it with water.
I'm saying
no
you
problem.
Can. It's. I'm not saying
yeah,
that's
it's
the
not
best
be the
way
best.
To do it, but you can.
And so then there's the packaged
on
Velveeta
James's
stuff.
List. You got to if you're going to take James's list, you got to go get some mac and cheese in a box.
Yes.
Make sure to
yeah,
put it in your bag.
That's right. That's great.
You know, when I'm thinking of food in the thing, I'm not expecting anybody to actually eat this food. I expect you to go out and find food. This is only stuff that you need to eat if you're stuck in the middle of nowhere and you've
got never
nothing.
Hunted in my life.
No, I'm not hunting. There's plenty of cities. There's going to be food. You just got to go take
That's
it.
That's what I'm talking about. That's
pork and beans, baby.
Scrounging,
pork
scavenging, whatever, whatever you want to call it.
But. Sure. Well, I mean, you're right.
Because,
food on the shelves.
If you have your reserve supply of food and you eat it all the first day, you know, just stay at home and kill yourself because you're fucked, you know. But, I mean, that's the point.
You just need tools to be able to find what you need.
Yeah. But, if you find some type of, like a energy bar or whatever that you like, you know. Like I said, having 10 or 15 of those around, because they keep
Butterfinger needs to make an energy bar that tastes just like the regular Butterfinger.
Good shelf life and everything. You know, there's not anything in it that's going to go bad. But,
no, that's going to be chock full of preservatives. If anything, those are the best.
And have some of those, you know, in your pack and ready to go. And stuff like a Camelback's good, but, you know, you have to fill it before you go. So, I mean, that's the only downside to something like that. I mean, if you had to move quick... Maybe having a couple of like liter bottles of water, you know, in your pack, because that stuff you can just sit in there. And obviously, it's water in a plastic bottle; it's not going to go bad either.
Well, speaking of that, you're also going to need like some purification tablets and that kind of stuff to keep the water supplies, you know, that you do come across.
Mm-hmm.
If you're like, you know, say you want to hole up someplace that's sort of heavily wooded, you know, maybe like a park or something that you feel like you're safe in, you know, in a urban area and more suburban area that you feel more comfortable being in, you know, you want to be able to get water. If you can't get water from like if all the running water has been shut down and all you're going to have is stagnant standing water, then you're going to need to do something. And boiling isn't always going to do it. You're going to need to either distill your water or you're going to have to purify it.
Yeah.
Or you can just pick it up like you would everything else, and
so it would be your
get
choice
bottled
between
water.
You could choose, we'll just leave it up to the people. They can choose either tablets. You can go to any Army surplus store and get water purification tablets.
Well, that's kind of the
problem. Makes the water
though.
Taste like total crap.
There's a lot of filters on the market.
And there's but yeah, that's
yeah
what
there
say.
Are
a lot
like
of
some camping stores
hand
around.
Pump filters that you can actually filter,
which
water.
Apparently do a really really good job.
The hand pump filters,
and they're fairly small now. So.
Yeah. I mean, obviously,
it's
because they're small, you can't do a high volume of water in a short period of time, but they're, most of the quality ones are really effective. I mean, it's, like, you know, 99.something% of all the stuff out, you know.
Yeah.
You just pump it through a series of filters. And it's like a little hand pump. Water goes in, water comes out. So.
Hmm. It's a shame that they don't have still suits.
Yep.
Still suits are the stuff. Except
yeah,
for you got to drink your own pee.
And your
sweat
and
you basically poop in it, and your poop gets processed in the thigh compartments.
Sloshing around with
crap. So you're filling up your pants.
Most women probably stink.
Yes.
Oh, good Lord, yeah. But they didn't smell like sweat because that's, you know.
And what about like knives? You need a knife?
Pocket knife?
We've already talked about it. Yeah, any pocket knife.
Of course.
A simple pocket knife.
I would say.
Yeah, you don't have to get the Rambo Extreme, you know.
Because obviously, if you're because obviously there's a situation where you may be in a vehicle. You know, you may have time to load some stuff into your car and, you know, evacuate the city, whatever, head for the hills, head for the woods, whatever, you know. There's that possibility. But then there's also the possibility that you'll be on foot running, you know, for your life or whatever. You know, there's a possibility that you could have everything that's left to you. You know, if your home's destroyed or you're abandoning it, you may be able to come back at some point, but you don't know. You know, you're just freaking running for your life because some crazy shit's happening. You know, there's a possibility everything that you have is on you. You know, you don't have any place to stash it. You don't have a vehicle to carry it. You know, you don't have a pack mule. You know, you've got all your stuff on you. So, obviously, at that point, that's just like if you've done any hiking and backpacking. I mean, those guys are like fanatical about shaving off of ounces.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, if you're carrying everything on you, ounces matter.
Yeah.
If you've never done stuff like that, you think, well, does it matter how big this knife is or something, you know? But if you're carrying all your shit on you, then, you know. But yeah, just a good pocket knife, a good folding pocket knife with like a 4-inch blade. You don't really don't need anything bigger than that.
Well, a Swiss Army knife is a nice knife to have because, you know, you do have the option of using, like, a saw blade if you need one. I had a Swiss Army knife for years, and I probably
I'd rather have something like a multi-tool for that.
Yeah, something with a pair of pliers on it because you get a lot more use out of that, and you'd be able to bend, like, you know, because there's going to be metal stuff out there that you're going to have to bend and try to, you know, you also want to cut wires and that sort of thing.
I mean, that's just... And the tools that are in a multi-tool, as far as, like, saws, files, screwdrivers, all that, they're way better than the ones in Swiss Army.
Oh, yeah.
And most of those, you know, and they have a good size knife blade on it. So if you're really concerned, you could just go with a multi-tool. I think having a multi-tool and a pocket knife would be better.
Yeah, you want to have something like a small pocket knife just so you can have something that just cuts.
Yeah.
Just so if you're trying to cut a piece of rope,
any decent quality pocket knife, like a 3 or 4 inch blade, because I don't think you need anything bigger than that.
Nah.
Anything smaller.
You don't
than
want the Rambo knife, that
anything
survival knife with the compass built into
any
the
knife smaller than that is. Any knife
you won't
smaller
need a compass,
than
though.
Well, you will need a compass, but that little ball compass in the butt of those cheap old Rambo knives that I think everybody had.
But then there's a lot
up
of people. Well, if you need a compass if you know how to use a compass.
Well, that's what I was going to bring up.
Yeah.
I would recommend.
Yeah.
Well, you need
learning how to land. Number one, get a bunch of. I would get street maps, if I could, topographical maps of the immediate area, just so you have them, and then just brush up on your orienteering.
You can get
navigation.
All that stuff.
Go buy the Army manual.
Well, you want a topographical map for a woodland area.
You,
if you decide
you
that that's
if
where
you
you're going
to navigate
go.
Through, if you wanted to land.
But you can get you can go online and get USGS survey maps of virtually anywhere in this country.
Yeah.
To different scales. I mean,
but you're going to need to decide where you're going to be.
But then that's the kind of thing. That's when you really need to know how to read one of those and how to navigate. I mean, most people have enough trouble reading, like, you know, a AAA roadmap.
Sure. Which isn't a bad idea, too. If you've got AAA,
but if you
just,
go out
yeah,
and if you have, like, a map of your city, you know, a map of the surrounding, you know, even if you just have, like, some decent, like you know, just regular AAA or Rand McNally Atlas maps, you know, of your state, of your general area, to have some idea how to get from one place to another, you know?
Yeah, and it's also important, even though you know your area, like, pretty well, to have a map, because there may be the instance where you need to know exactly where a water source goes underneath something in a road, because people cross, like, little bridges. Bridges are often, like, places where people wouldn't normally expect there to be a bridge. It's just they cross and don't even think about it. And that can be a spot that you might need, a strategic point, you know, over a source of water. And, you know, you need a map that shows you, I didn't really think about it, but there it is, you know, a little bridge. And it's important that you have, like, a document of the area that you're in order to be able to plot where to go. Because you might be with people that aren't from that area, and then you can... You can show them exactly where they need to move.
Like I said, to really use a topographical map, you need to know some orienteering and land nav stuff. Mm-hmm. But, you know, most anybody with a brain, I think, should be able to read a basic road map.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, just a city,
and you can teach yourself how to land navigate. Basic navigation.
Yeah. It's not difficult. But
you can't teach yourself night land nav or anything like that.
But, you know, that's one of those things you can... You know, it's up to the individual to how, you know, how much they want to learn, how far they want to go with it. But, you know, if you want to stay simple, you can get just like road maps, street maps type of stuff. You know, if you really want to, like I said, you can get USGS survey maps of, you know, different scales, topographical maps of anywhere pretty much.
And compasses are really cheap anyways. You can find a really good map compass, one that's the clear compass that you can lay over a map and...
Silver Ranger, stuff like that.
And you can pick those up for $5.
They're not
cheap from pretty much any place you go. Like any sort of camping outfitter should have one of those and around a lanyard for next to nothing.
You can get pretty inexpensive lensatic compasses, too. Or if you actually have to shoot azimuths, but I don't think anybody listening to the show is going to be doing that.
Yeah. If you need a sextant, and if you're out on the water,
astrolabe,
then you're in a different sort of environment than I'm familiar with, and I probably wouldn't be able to help you.
Pocket astrolabe.
Okay, so what else? What about firearms? I know this might be controversial for some people, but
well,
I think you should have a small, in my opinion, you should have at least some kind of a small firearm of common caliber that you can find ammo.
Yeah, that's a user choice. I mean, there's a people, you know, people who choose to be armed, people who choose to not be armed.
Well, it depends on what you expect. I mean, if you're going to be hunting more than you're going to be defending, then, you know, a weapon for hunting would be appropriate. And then something, of course, that you could defend yourself with. And I'm a big fan of the shotgun in that respect, is that you get to choose your type of ammo. And you get to, you know, if you're going to hunt birds, you can hunt birds. If you can hunt buck, you can hunt buck. Although I've never been hunting and probably would be fiercely lousy at it. Well, if I was hungry enough, I could shoot me some squirrels.
Yeah, but then I could shoot and kill, you know, any of a number of creatures, but then I'm screwed because I don't know what to do with it once it's dead.
Yeah, I'm just...
I don't know how to get usable meat out of it.
Check it out. I cooked all the fur off of it.
I could hack it to pieces, too, with a knife, but, you know, I don't know exactly how to do any of that stuff.
Well, at least we're not, like, to where we have to cut out the gallbladder of a blowfish or something like that.
I mean, you know, I could shoot a deer and then hack a chunk of muscle off of it and cook it over a fire, but
with a deer you're going to have a lot to experiment with as far as tastiness is concerned. You can say, oh, that leg looks pretty good,
you know,
skin.
I mean,
it
so but I don't, it's, yeah, as far as
I would
firearms,
stick to probably raiding other people's sources.
But
I mean, I agree too, because I would have to be totally, I'm not keen on running off into the woods either, because if you don't know, people think, like, shit happens, I'm gonna like run out into the, you know, into the rural areas and like, what are you going to live in the woods and eat pine cones?
There's definitely going to be people hunting than me.
I mean, if you don't know how to live in that sort of environment, you know, you're going to have to, like, scrounge, you know, maybe if you get out of the city and you're in the sort of, not necessarily the suburbs, but that fringe area, you know, whether there's going to be settlements or, you know, or towns of some type of stuff, you know, you're going to be scrounging there for years. Because most people don't know how to hunt, and then... You know, they say, well, I've got this rifle, I can use it for hunting. I'm like, okay, yeah, I could shoot a deer, but then what the hell
you
do I
to
do
find
with
a
it?
Deer.
Well, that's also the thing. I mean, like, if you were to actually make it out to a place that had, like, huntable land, chances are somebody probably lives on it. Unincorporated land is sort of scarce. You know, land that nobody lives on, that a bunch of animals roam free in. Yeah. Even though, you know, there's plenty of places where that's, you know, very populated. I mean, people live there. There's plenty of people that live on the cusp of the wilderness, you know, and they own property. And chances are they're going to survive this. You know, all that's going to happen to them is their electricity is going to turn off. And if you actually make it out that way and start hunting on somebody's land, they're not going to be pretty happy about it. So, you know, it's probably best to know ahead of time what you're going to have.
Yeah, I mean, I think for realistic purposes, I mean, a firearm would be for self-defense. I mean, you're not, like, because I mean, hunting opportunities are going to be very limited. Like I said, if you're a hunter and you know all that stuff, that's great. That's just one more skill that you have.
Again, I like the shotgun. It's loud. It's a point and shoot weapon. You don't have to aim so much as point. It's, you know.
Come on, you still got to aim.
Well, you got to.
You don't pull the trigger and it releases a cone of destruction.
No, but it is
everything.
It is very
everything
loud.
Within, you know. Everything within the cone of destruction is vaporized.
Like Contra.
Yeah. Well, those people that think, like, you know, I've got a shotgun so I can, you know, I can shoot, like, four people at once with it. Like, you know, it's like 9 pellets of buckshot. I could kill 9 people with it. And, like, because each pellet is, like, instant death or something. No, you actually have to aim, and the point is to put all of those pellets into one thing. It's not like it sprays and all the pellets can kill. You want all the pellets into one thing. That's, you know, but you do have to aim. It's a little more forgiving.
I
yeah, guess. Forgiving than a single, you know, than a rifle with a single projectile. But
well, now explain to our listeners, what's the advantage of maybe sawing off a shotgun?
None, except that you could fit it inside your black leather trench coat.
So making a sawed-off shotgun is really just for show.
And if you're just going to take a hacksaw to it and try to saw the end off, I don't know if I would recommend doing that.
No, you gain nothing from it except that you could fit it into a smaller space.
Yeah, it's just it's more portable. Okay. It's not as long. I mean, shotguns can be pretty big. If you get a full, like, full-size...
I mean, I'm not going to down a sawed-off shotgun.
You can get smaller shotguns.
Lots of my favorite people.
Because, I mean, shotguns have a... the range is limited enough as is. You don't really need to do things to inhibit their range even more than it already, you know.
And the ammunition is fairly large, so you'd be limited on how much ammo you could carry.
Yeah. I mean, you know, there's nothing wrong with them. But I was going to say, I mean, having a firearm is, I think it's purely for self-defense. Because obviously, you're in a dangerous, crazy, you know, chaotic situation, you know. And if, you know, we're talking about valuable supplies here and what you should have. So obviously, maybe there's going to be people who have not prepared. They might want to take your shit.
Yeah.
If you have a vehicle, they may want to take your vehicle. You know, the whole thing like in War of the Worlds when he's like the one guy with the car, you know, and everybody's freaking out. You know, it may not be the only person, you know, but there people are going to want what you have if you have stuff.
Sure.
If you have food, you have water, you have equipment, you have a vehicle. You know, I think mostly having a firearm in this case is for self-defense. I think that, you know, that hunting possibilities are going to be limited, you know. Depending on the nature of this particular apocalypse, there may be things that you have to shoot. You may be shooting Martians or something, you know, or whatever. You know, mole men from the center of the earth may be rampaging.
Right.
You know,
that's right.
You know, you may have stuff to shoot, too. But I think it's mostly going to be for self-defense.
Or the Z-word.
Well, that would be self-defense.
Zeds. Zeke's.
If you got a shield.
I like Zeke I like Zeke and Zulu. That's like the code word if you talk about Zeke's.
Yep. We're purposely skirting the issue listening.
But, you know, I mean, it's most... So, yeah, I mean, it's whatever type of firearm you're particularly comfortable with. I mean, you know, it's... But, yeah, I would avoid anything too exotic.
Yeah, just get something reliable.
Something simple, something reliable, and as far as whatever type of ammunition, yeah, nothing too exotic. Yeah. Because obviously
you want to be able to find ammo for it. So the more common, the better.
Yeah, you know, and if you want to, you know, if you just want to get a handgun because that's something that's easy, you know,
it's portable,
concealable, lightweight. You know, if you want to go with a rifle, if you want to go with a shotgun, whatever, we could do an entire. I personally could do an entire 4-hour episode talking about nothing but guns, but. Yeah, I mean, that's a personal thing. And the main thing is, like, if you are going to get one, obviously, like, they always just practice with it. Be proficient with it. There's no point in having one if you don't know how to use it when you're going to have to use it.
Sure, you should have, like, a pretty good working knowledge of everything that you're going to have, especially, like, your firearms. And, of course, like, when we're talking maps, you need to know how to use a map. And you need to know how to, like, and packing a bag. A lot of people really can't pack bags. Now, this day, I roll up my T-shirts.
Yep.
Not only does it keep them wrinkle-free.
That's true.
But it also takes less room in the backpack, and you can grab them out. And
what about socks? Do you donut your socks?
Yes.
Okay.
Because it makes it easier to grab.
Yep. And that way the two stay together.
That's right. And you don't have to dig for the other socks.
You have a pair of socks.
That's right.
They're donut. Okay. All right.
So otherwise, you know, you're digging for...
Yeah.
That's the worst thing about having
a
backpack
that's a good
full
point.
Of stuff.
Clean socks. You need lots of socks.
Yes.
If you're going to be on foot.
Yes, because...
Yeah. And you need footwear. That,
your feet are the most
that.
Important
yes.
thing that
one.
You're going to be using.
Don't go buy a pair of jump boots.
If you're not used to walking in the shoes that you're going to be wearing or the boots, then you're at a huge disadvantage.
That could probably be the most... I would probably recommend spending a good chunk of chains on really good footwear.
Absolutely.
Like a really good pair of boots.
Absolutely.
I don't mean go out and get jungle boots.
Yeah.
Well,
anything
that
you're going to have to wear and put saddle soap on to get them to be comfortable.
Yeah,
get something that's comfortable
that's
out of
the
box.
The sort of the way I look at it is like you can have, you know, hopefully you'll have the opportunity, you'll have some time to get all your stuff together, you know, maybe load up your vehicle, you know, and that gives you more. But then there's also, you know, you sort of be prepared for the worst case scenario. Which is like maybe you only have time to like to grab your, you know, to grab your pack that's got some supplies in it. Maybe grab a few more things. You know, you've got like 10 minutes. You know, to grab your shit and you know, and you've got to go, and you don't have time. Maybe you can jump in your vehicle and take off, but you don't have time to like stand around your house going, oh, that'd be good too. Put that in there, you know, and then like, oh, go downstairs and get that box of stuff and let's put that in the, you know. You don't have, like, an hour to load up.
No, you know? You don't necessarily have to have your bag packed, but you should have a list.
So maybe you get your shit real quick.
All right, we cut out there. Sorry about that. Yeah, but you don't necessarily have to have your backpack. Like I said, you just need to have the list made.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, like, be prepared for the worst, sort of the worst case scenario, which is being on foot and having everything, what is conceivably all of your possessions that you know, with you. And so, yeah, like Ted said, footwear is going to be hugely important in that case. And, you know, having a good, solid...
just get a sturdy set, something. I mean, you know, something, boots or shoes or something.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, anything from... I mean, you know, even like a decent pair of running shoes, obviously they're going to be comfortable if you're in them for a long... They may not be the sturdiest things, you know, they're not going to necessarily be waterproof or whatever, you know, but...
Waterproof shoes are important if... You should have a pair. You should have a pair of shoes that are waterproof because people don't understand. Like, you get out there and your feet get wet. Generally speaking, most people take off their shoes, you know, in an 8-hour time period. Even if they get wet, they're going to get home at some point and change their socks and shoes. But if you're out for days at a time with wet shoes, you'll get trench foot. Right. And your feet will fall off.
Well, if you're on foot, I mean, you should take off your... shoes and change your socks every
couple
of hours. Yeah,
you should change your socks all the time. But yeah, if your shoes get wet to the point where they're soaked all the time, then your feet are going to suffer for it. And if you're going to be in a wet environment, you have to have some shoes that are waterproof. That isn't to say that if you're in an urban environment, you're going to be in a different landscape. It's maybe not so important that you have like boots on. But you know, those are protection. Right. They're protection from things that can cut you. If things are around you and they're like broken or rubble was everywhere and you're climbing over a lot of stuff to get at what you need, then you really need to go and find a pair of boots, whether or not you own a pair or not, and put them on, because you don't want to cut your foot on something sticking out and then having like tetanus or worse, you know, or some kind of infection.
Yeah, I hate to say this, but leave your Chucks at home.
Yeah.
whatever you get, I mean, it needs to be something well-made. It needs to be something comfortable. And if you foresee using them in that sort of situation, you need to put some miles on them, get them broken in, make sure they really are that comfortable.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and then, I mean, I would say basically you can have something for like, I guess depending on where you live and what the weather's like, you know, but be advised that, you know, if you're going to be outside, obviously in cold weather, you need different shoes than if you're going to be outside in the middle of freaking summer.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and if you don't foresee
you can buy some of those crazy high-tech boots that work, you know, in from like 30 below to 120.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they're just great for everything if you want to.
Yeah, Gore-Tex is a really good product in that, because then you can end up with like a boot that's going to work in the summer.
And linked to this, invest in some good socks.
Absolutely.
Because cotton socks suck if you're doing a lot of walking. They're not particularly good.
But if you're not used to poly socks, they can mess with your feet at first.
But I wouldn't get polyester socks either.
No, no, anything's going to melt to your skin if you catch on fire.
Wool. Yeah, wool's the shit. Or like the sort of high-tech wool blend, smart wool, stuff like that. Because I 2 weekends ago, I did some trekking around the park in these trail shoes. Like, because I wanted to put some miles on these, you know. And I did some overland stuff, and I did some stuff on paved surfaces, you know. And even though these are pretty comfortable and I wasn't doing anything harsh, you know, I just had a decent pair of cotton socks on. And you could,
so without doing, like, a product endorsement, basically, what are you wearing, though? What are you wearing?
I tried Ingenious, which I were recommended. I saw a few people online who had done some hiking. It's a brand called Ingenious, and they're like a sock and sock liner woven together into one thing.
But they're made of two different materials?
Yes.
Or?
The liner is some high-tech synthetic thing that this company designed, some synthetic fiber that's like right next to your foot. And the outside part is like wool and a little bit of nylon and stuff. But they were really comfortable, and the synthetic part, like wick, that great word, it wicks the moisture away from your foot, and then it, you know, but the outside part cushions. But I really liked them, and then actually the pair I'm wearing now, I've been trying, I've been actually field testing two different ones, but This pair is made, this is called Ultimax. Mm. And these are pretty cool, too. This is actually a wool and cotton. It's got, I think it's got a little bit of cotton in it. But wool's the best. I mean...
Yeah, most people consider, like,
but then,
wool...
then there's all... There's a
scratchy sort
there's
of...
A, there's a
know.
Brand called Smart Wool that are highly, highly touted amongst, like, hikers. And I've seen a lot, I've heard a lot of military guys recommend Smart Wool socks.
Yeah, we're not talking about your winter wool socks here.
No, they're
real, like, the big, thick ones that you need really something underneath.
Because, I mean, I've seen guys online talk about wearing Smart Wool like inside their boots when it's, you know, like 105 and their feet are fine. But I mean it, cause Smart Wool is the brand, but it's wool and some stuff blended together. But
yeah.
I mean, yeah, cause just like your cotton tube socks, if you put a lot of hard miles on your feet wearing that stuff, cause the cotton, like when your feet sweat, the cotton just soaks up the sweat and holds next to your foot.
And it becomes like sandpaper after
and then,
a while.
Yeah.
Too.
The cotton will just start to eat into the soles of your feet, you know, and you just it's just
well, they're
bad.
Only good for one use too. I mean, socks that are made of cotton, you know, if you've ever had to wear your socks twice, you know, 2 days in a row, they're hideous.
Yeah, it's,
you know, they're flattened, they don't have any cushion left in them usually, and they're just nasty feeling and funked, you know, which is a bad thing because your feet are going to suffer tremendously if you don't change your socks.
But then, like, yeah, like if you have multiple pairs and you rotate them. You know, like you, if you're walking a lot and you stop and you take off the socks that you've got on, put on a fresh pair, and then, you know, you can, yeah, I've seen like hikers, they'll hang the other ones on their pack to let them air out, you know?
Yeah.
If you don't, because you can't wash them, obviously, you know? And that way, you know, and then they'll air out and you can rotate them back, you know, if you've only got two or three pairs, you know? That's better than wearing them until they fall apart and you've got jungle foot, you know.
So as far as like other items of clothing, like I've said this before, but I'm a big fan of the cargo pant for at least, you know, most situations, because you got the option of carrying things in it. Of course, you got the pockets, and then they're not always, you know, they're not too tight, they're not too loose, you know, you can
they're comfortable.
Yeah, you can do a lot of stuff in them. And
if you stick a bunch of shit in your pockets, it's really uncomfortable.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, but, sure.
Yeah. But, like, I mean, any, you know, you don't have, first of all, don't go buy a bunch of military surplus clothing, you know. I mean, you can get some, you know, sometimes it is a good deal. You can get some good, rugged, fairly sturdy outdoorsy stuff, but, you know, a lot of it's junk. But,
yeah, you can go buy ripstop pants at Old Navy, though.
Any, you know, but stuff like, you know, and stuff like the old, like the field jackets and stuff are not the best, you know, winter coats, really.
No, remember, everybody, that when you buy military surplus, you're buying clothes made by the lowest bidder.
You know.
And there are better things out there. It just depends on what you're looking at.
You know, like, just decent, you know, decent, well-constructed, sturdy, sort of, you know, outdoorsy clothes.
Yeah, you want to go look at stuff that's going to hold up. I mean, because you aren't going to want to have to change clothes all the time. Now, this is true of almost anything. It's stuff that you don't use every single day. You don't really appreciate how durable it is until you start using it every single day. It's like tools. It's like if you go buy a crappy set of tools, which, another thing, if you're in an urban environment and you're going to be working on, like, if you're in a vehicle, you should definitely have a toolbox and you should definitely have a set of ratchets. And as soon as you buy a set of ratchets, go get yourself a decent wrench. Spend the $20 on the flip switch wrench, not the dial wrench, because that wrench will break. I assure you. You go starting working on that thing for more than a couple of hours, and that thing is going to break on you. And they're cruddy wrenches. And that's just it. It's true of anything. If you buy something that you're using every day and working hard with it, you want, like your pants, you want double-stitch stuff.
Yeah.
You want hard-use wear.
Because, yeah, if you get junk and you use it hard like that, it's going to break real quick.
And that's the worst, because then it's going to fail on you at the worst possible time. Yeah. And if your pants rip open when you're hiking through someplace and you're not anywhere near a place you're going to find new pants, and that's another thing, a sewing kit should have, like, something to mend your clothes with. And the sewing kit's very important, but you don't want your clothes to, like, fail on you. And although you should have, like, some T-shirts and things.
Well, I mean, you know, it's like anything. If your clothing's going to be dependent upon, you know, the climate. I mean, what the temperature's like. And if you're going to be outside in the cold, obviously you'll need cold weather clothing, and you'll have to, you know, base around that. But again, I mean, if it's cool or anything, you know, wool is awesome. You know, wool gets wet and still keeps you warm. Because that fleece stuff, man, when it gets wet, it don't do shit. But, and the fleece stuff, like, can melt. You know, if it gets on fire, it kind of just melts because it's all synthetic stuff. So.
Could be bad news.
Yeah.
What about first aid?
But I was going to say, as far as clothing, I think an important thing would be sort of like rain gear.
Yes,
more so the
poncho. Yeah,
yeah, even ponchos. Just a poncho. You can get those little fold-up pocket rain,
exactly.
You know, things. Something like that that's not big. That can make a huge difference.
It's really lightweight. You can put it over most of your clothes.
I think that's more important than, like, you know, what type of pants you're wearing. Because even a decent pair of jeans is a reasonably sturdy pair of pants.
Well, a poncho is better than anything because you can lay it, you know, it keeps your pants from getting wet also. So, you know, a lot of times it's going to come down at least your knees.
But
and you're disabled. And it's kind of like a miniature tent. You know, you can put stuff underneath it and keep your articles of, like, necessity dry. And,
I mean, you can put your pack under it.
Yeah.
You can put the hood up and you can kind of sit there in a little thing, you know.
And a waterproof backpack isn't a bad idea if we didn't mention that before. You want to get something that isn't going to just absorb moisture. And you can buy, like, a cheaper backpack. You don't have to go out and spend $150 on a backpack. You can spend $20, $30 on a backpack and get a decent pack, especially if you're looking at, like, you know, sales. You know, if you go for those end-of-the-year sales that a lot of these, like, camping outfitter places have, because, you know, they're always trying to sell the next new thing, and they're getting rid of stuff off the shelf, and they'll sell that stuff for as cheap as you can find it. You know, you can get stuff that's knocked off 60, 70%.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's you know, like everything we're talking about here, like, you can either, you can spend a little bit of money, or if you've got it, you can go crazy off the deep end and buy, you know, insane stuff. You could spend $10,000 equipping yourself.
But you don't want to do it at the expense of other things.
No,
you don't
want
to wind up with a great backpack and everything in it just be hideous and horrible.
So the amount of money you spend is entirely, you know, up to you, and it depends on what resources you have available. But what, like Ted just said, I mean, first aid, like a decent first aid kit, you know,
absolutely.
And that's something you can go anywhere, you know, you can go to Walmart, go to the, you know, over to the you know, you can buy a decent first aid kit for $10, you know. And, I mean, if you know what you're doing, you can put together one from, you know, just stuff. But it's probably not a bad idea just to go out and buy one.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't know anything about that stuff, then you won't know. There's probably going to be stuff in a store-bought one that you wouldn't think to put in there if you don't know much about it. You know, and you can, and most of them have some little, you know, book that comes with it, basic first aid, you know, how to. Because, you know, if you don't know shit, you know, but it's better than nothing. If you don't know how, if you don't know much first aid, then you're not going to be able to handle a serious injury by flipping through some little book and looking at line drawings.
No.
Like, oh, that's how to
and
set.
And there's not going
to
be
that's how to set a bone, you know? And it's like, how do I tie this tourniquet? You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like,
well, yeah.
Tracheotomy with a pin, but.
Sure.
Just, you know, bandages.
Yeah, tape. I mean, just some, you know, some stuff like that. I mean, it's probably.
Scissors.
Yeah, just basic stuff. If
yeah,
some,
you should
know,
have bandages, scissors, band-aids for
some
small
aspirin.
Cuts. And,
just like,
you
know, get
them. Yeah, and basic things like aspirin.
Yeah.
Because and, you don't know. I got a toothache right now, and aspirin is my best friend. It's just absolutely the best. You try, like, I don't know if anybody's like this or not, but ibuprofen just doesn't work on me at all. Like, I got to take so much, I'm actually putting my liver at risk to do anything.
I don't take ibuprofen.
I'm just an aspirin person all the way, except for codeine. I got some codeine tablets for my tooth, and that's the shit. But I didn't
take it. The only thing better than that's morphine.
Yeah.
Which is just.
And if you're, you know, if you got little ampules of morphine, then
you're
pretty good shape.
If you happen to run across a combat lifesaver's bag that's got morphine in it.
Morphine syrettes and just sit there jamming them into your thigh.
Yeah. You're not going to care what's going on.
Really good.
You're like, hey, the world's in it.
But,
awesome.
just, you know, and you can get, I've seen like the little, there's like the personal, like pocket first aid kits, which that's something you may not. I mean, it doesn't have a whole lot, but
you
but then there's
have
the big ones that are
on
there's
you,
the big ones that are like, you know, vehicle base. But I would say if you can, you know, having like a personal one, and that's the kind of thing like to carry in a cargo pocket, because it's going to be on your person, not in your bag.
Exactly.
And then get a little bit bigger one and carry that in your bag and that, you know, that type of stuff. And
learn how to build a fire, get some matches or a lighter. Or
that's right, man. I've successfully lit a fire with a flint kit, Boy Scout flint kit, once to get out of KP. It was like, I was told if I could light a fire with this thing, because we needed a fire, then I would get out of KP, and by God, I lit that fire too. I was proud, because it was hard, and it took me half an hour.
Well, you know, they've got better stuff now. They've got magnesium blocks now that you can.
But I guess it's
shave
funny.
Shave off and start a fire.
That's one of those things, you stop and think about it, how easy it is to set stuff, how easy it is to burn shit.
Oh, yeah.
And yet there's a lot of people who would be really screwed if they had to, like, build a fire.
Well, it's just like in that movie, what am I thinking of? The one Tom Hanks.
Castaway?
Castaway, where he's trying to light the fire with the, you know, the stick.
Yeah.
Rubbing it back and forth.
Jesus
and
Christ.
Just melts
that
his hand, basically,
forever.
And you can't get it done.
I've been able to make smoke with that.
I'm talking about even with, like, matches or a lighter.
Oh, sure.
You know, how easy it is to burn stuff, but if someone was, like, actually trying to, you know...
You don't just throw a lit match in a stack of wood and it's...
Yeah, that's what I mean.
No,
that's what I mean.
Not.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, people who don't know how to, like... build a fire if they had to.
Well, a lot of people don't know how to blow on a fire to get it to go either. You have to really kind of...
And the thing is like, or they could build a fire, but it would be a really dangerous fire.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like finding an old couch and pouring gas on it and then lighting it and go, look, I made a fire, you know, but it's... And then you have to be aware of what's around you that the fire could spread to, you know? So, I mean, how to build a fire...
Safely.
You know, and then what's good fuel, what's bad. Plastic is not good. Don't put plastic in a fire.
Fire bad.
Burning plastic is not something you want to spend time
around. That's right.
You know, any sort of pressurized container, you don't want to throw that anywhere near a fire, you know. Let's build a ring of propane tanks and put the fire. Look, I found some cans of spray paint. We can pile these, you know, just some basic stuff. But, yeah. How to build a fire, that's really, you know, simple. But having some waterproof matches, you know, or get some of those, the Strike Anywhere ones that you are not as easy as they used to be able to find.
Right.
You know, you can find them now, like, at some, you know, hardware stores and stuff like that. But the good, solid, wooden Strike Anywhere matches, and if you can't get waterproof matches, get those and put them in a watertight container.
Yeah.
You know, and then also just having like one or two, you know, just big disposable lighters, because those things don't weigh shit.
Yeah, but you don't want to carry around a whole lot of lighters. You might be like tempted to come across a gas station and be like, oh, look, a whole bunch of lighters, and then carry them around with you. And then like all it takes is one good fall on a rock and your thigh blows up because you filled your cargo pocket full of lighters.
No, but I mean having one or two of those, you know, like in your bag, you know. Put them in like a Ziploc bag and seal them, you know. But that just have, because those things don't weigh anything. You know, you're not giving up much weight there. But a couple, you know, and not a Zippo, because a Zippo is not a really great practical lighter for.
It's heavy. You have to fill it.
Yeah. Yeah, and the fuel in it evaporates
exactly.
Very quickly. It's not a good thing.
The only thing it's really good for is lighting your way if you don't have anything else. I mean, if you're walking around and it's dark and you need to light your way,
I mean, those little,
it's gonna not
like
blow
the,
out.
The electric, like the little. Butane jet lighters are cool if you're like in a windstorm.
Sure.
You know, but again, they run out of fuel pretty. All the ones that I had never kept their fuel charge very long. You
and
know?
Of course, for lighting purposes, flashlights. And we'll refer you to episode zero. Has a great diatribe on the.
Or you can hear Derek's great speech on flashlights.
But. But have you come across any new and exciting flashlightery?
Flashlightery.
Hey, I've seen several that I want. I have not purchased them yet.
Purchased?
But I've seen... I found a really wicked cordless rechargeable 15 million candle power spotlight.
That's right.
I really want.
That you could...
It's only like... I think it's about... $60-$65, which I don't think is bad at all.
No, for a 15 million candle power.
Yeah. And there's a couple more LEDs that are in the pipeline, shall we say. They're on my personal
I like how they still use candle power as the you know.
Well, actually, all the high tech flashlights are all rated in lumens.
Yeah,
yeah.
Which is the metric version of
candle power. Which measures a different thing than candle
power. Yeah, yeah.
There's like brightness, and then there's luminosity, and then there's.
Yeah, monitors are rated in lumens also.
And then there's
LED monitors.
There's bright candle power measures brightness, and lumens is luminosity. And then there's also candela, which measures something else.
Candela?
Yes, which is another unit.
Candelabra?
Which is a unit that's light related, but it measures some, because you can't convert lumens to candle power, because they measure different aspects of the light.
Ah, okay.
I think candle power measures brightness, and lumens is like luminosity, which is somehow different. It's not how bright it is, it's how luminous it is. but all high tech flashlights and stuff, you know, all the high end stuff like Surefires and Maya Nova.
Well, yeah, at the point where you're like at 15 million candle power, that sort of becomes like an issue of.
Well, that's not
what?
A flashlight, though. That's yeah. a spotlight.
No, that's a spotlight.
Yeah.
But that's
it's
still.
It's a big flashlight.
But
that's an
but
awful
yeah,
big
you
amount.
Know,
but, like you're going to be able to discern like a million candle power from
yeah,
15
yeah,
million.
Yeah. But for what we're talking about here, like a decent, you know, if you're any flashlight's better than no flashlight, obviously. But
waterproof, you know, good on batteries. That's pretty much the bottom
yeah,
line here.
You don't need anything huge. You don't need like a six D cell mag light, because obviously that's huge and heavy.
Yeah.
You can use that as a club if you need to, but I would rather have, you know, a bat if I wanted to go hand to hand, you know, than a flashlight. But I would, you know, something a decent size, you know, not a little tiny LED like keychain light, something bigger.
Although it wouldn't be a bad idea to have something like that. If you, you know, if you have a car, keep something like that on you.
Yeah.
So you can put it in your mouth to fix your car with.
Well, I would put a little bitty flashlight like that in the first aid kit.
Yeah.
You know, or something like that.
Exactly.
You know, having something like that. That's another place like where headlamps could be really handy. Headlamps are kind of dorky looking. They make a lot of really cool LED ones now, but they're not. They would be useful like if you were like putting up a tent at night. You know, obviously, or anything, you got to use your hands and you need light.
Sure.
Which there aren't really that many situations where I think you'd need both hands and light. But, you know, maybe like some first aid situations.
Surgery.
You know,
yeah.
You know, if you've got a situation where you need your hands for stuff, even if it's not necessarily the middle of the night, a first aid situation, you know, if there's a cut or something, you know, more light is better. You know, a headlamp's a personal choice thing, but. You know, any a decent small flashlight, you know, if it's waterproof or, you know, a lot of them have like the sort of rubberized kind of shock resistant housing or something, you know.
Sure.
You could go to, I mean, you can go to Walmart and spend $20 and get a surprisingly good flashlight. Yeah, and get something that uses, you know, AA or AAA batteries. Avoid, you know, the CR123 lithium high end stuff.
Something that you can find.
Yeah.
It's easy to find.
Just a decent, you know, or like a mini mag. You know, that's no huge investment. You can get those at Walmart. The two AA mini mags, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You really got to beat the hell out of those things to break them. And you can get a couple spare bulbs for next to nothing.
Yeah,
but
I've got one of those in my car.
Yeah, that's you know, that's a good thing to have. But you know how I feel about flashlights.
It's unnatural love is what it is.
Between a man and his flashlights. My harem of flashlights.
Well, there's always, you know, other things that you can add to the list. And, of course, we made the...
This was only version one.
Yeah, it's only, you know, the volume one of the list. You know, and I'm sure that there's going to be lots more time that we can come back to this issue and say, hey, you know, this is especially specific things. The ones where, you know, if this happens, you definitely are going to need this for
yeah.
it. And
yeah.
that's important. And there's going to definitely be revisions to the list. And we want to make sure that everybody understands that if you go out and just buy these things, you're going to be...
guaranteed.
Yeah. You're not guaranteed to have everything, of course.
But, I mean, you know, ultimately... It's, you know, whatever you have, if you don't, like I was saying about the compass or whatever,
mm-hmm.
or a firearm, if you have stuff and you don't know how to use it, you know, you don't learn about it, you don't practice with it, it's not going to do you any good to have
wait.
It. Yeah. And then, you know, if you're serious about this sort of stuff and you get all this stuff, like with they're talking about footwear, you know, you have to try it out. You have to make sure that it's worthy. And people that are, you know, into this stuff, man, they're constantly like tweaking their loadout. You know what I mean? They're constantly evaluating stuff and trying this and like I said, if everything you have is on your person and you're on foot, you know, if you can find something that does the job better and, you know, weighs less and is more compact, you know, that's even better. You know?
That's right. That's right. I mean, we'd love to get everybody to submit their favorite articles of survival and email them to us at destructomundo@gmail.com. In fact,
if you email us saying that you need some kind of vest with Seppi plates in it, I'm going to make fun of you.
Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely.
If you've got $4,000 to throw down on an armored vest, then...
But yeah, if you're... yes, you will get Ted's derision for certain if you send us that.
Yeah.
But, you know, feel free. I mean, you know, don't let me stop you. So if you feel like you need to send us an email saying that...
Pinnacle vest with dragon skin so you can take 15 7.62 by 39s at point blank range, like whatever, buddy.
Yeah,
you might need that, but I don't have $5,000 to spend on it, so.
Yeah, sure.
But if you got the money, you know,
pal,
go for it.
You can send it to me and I will field test it for you.
That's right. Yep, we'll prove it.
I'll evaluate.
We're the provenance people.
Yes.
We're the proving ground here in the bunker.
I have to let somebody shoot me with it.
We've got email. We've got new email. Sean has sent us another email, and Sean has a question for us.
Okay.
And I'm gonna have our robot. Hey, we didn't even tell everybody our robot's neighbor last week. Automatanya is gonna read us our email.
Our beautiful Fembot.
That's right. She's lovely, and here she is.
Hey guys, I just listened to the new podcast. And it was excellent as expected. Anyway, I will clear up the mystery and say that I reside in Portland, Oregon. I look forward to the next cast. Oh, and where do you guys get your smoke grenades? The last time I went to my surplus store, all they had were wimpy smoke bombs that you can buy at any firework tent. I'm looking for the real tactical kind of smoke grenades. Still your biggest fan. John O'Halloran.
Well,
that's
Derek?
Easy. All you have to do is just raid an armory. Go to the National Guard armory in the middle of the night, bust in the door, and get them, if you want American ones.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the ones that I have, I bought at a gun show.
That's where I've got mine.
That's an easy way. Virtually every gun show that I've, and I'm sure there's stuff in that area, too. gun shows are probably the only place where you can just go buy them easily. I had some East German ones. I've seen a variety of different surplus ones. You can get the U.S. ones, like the yellows, the reds, the purples.
Now, yours were Nebelwerf Corpers, right? East German.
My East German ones. And they're white. The last gun show I went to, the guy had the same ones, but with orange smoke. But they were outrageously expensive, and I was not going to pay that kind of money. But
they're lots of fun on how. Oh yeah,
but,
Fourth of July.
You can the U.S. ones are a little bit they're kind of pricey. I mean, I've seen some of the older ones, $25-$30 a piece. There are places online where you can get the. They're not military ones, but they're like the police style tactical smokes, and not all of those places. I can't honestly think of any websites right now, but check some. If you look on the internet at like police supply type websites, there are a number of them that do sell that stuff, and a lot of it's like smoke grenades are not restricted. Sometimes like the tear gas style grenades are restricted, and there's some of that riot control, less than lethal type of stuff that is restricted, law enforcement only. But a lot of times smoke grenades are not.
So you're not going to have a problem getting these online, are you, and having them shipped to you?
No. Unless... You know, there may be some local laws or something, but a lot of those police supply places do carry, you know, different colored police use smoke grenades, and they're not restricted for sale to the general public. At least the smoke ones. I'm saying the smoke ones are not. But I would look there, because I've seen them. I know I've seen them online places. One place I can think of offhand is Shomertech, S-H-O-M-E-R-T-E-C, Shomertech.com, which is a police supply website. They used to have smoke grenades.
Well, I hope that helped you out, Sean, and you need to get some smoke grenades, because that's an excellent thing to have, believe me.
But the cheapest and easiest way is probably at a gun show, a big gun show, or like a military...
You know, everybody has a National Gun Day.
Something like that, yeah. I mean,
maybe.
It's every other month. National Gun Day. It's most.
If he lives in Oregon, Portland, they've got lots of Primo beer there. They should send a. That's right.
Anchor Steam from Portland?
No, that's from San Francisco.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I'm just meant there's lots of small microbreweries in Portland. Or in Oregon in general. But
well,
anyway,
that's right.
We have another email from.
That's right. We did get another email this week, and
it's a bonanza.
Tomatanya, you want to play that one?
Take it away.
Dear sir, I write to inform you of my desire to acquire estates or landed properties in your country on behalf of the Director of Contracts and Finance Allocation of the Federal Ministry of Works and Housing in Nigeria. Considering his very strategic and influential position, he would want the transaction to be as strictly confidential as possible. He further requires his identity to remain undisclosed at least for now, until the completion of the transaction. Hence, our desire to have an overseas agent. The deal in brief is that the funds with which to carry out our proposed investments in your country is presently in a coded secured account with the Nigerian Apex Bank, and we need your assistance to transfer the funds to your country or any safe account outside your country in a convenient bank account that will be provided by you before we can put the funds into use. For this you shall be considered to have executed a contract for the ministry. The contract sum of which shall run into US $15.5 million, of which your share shall be 30%, if you agree to be our overseas agent. All that is required of you is a safe account and your willingness to assist us acquire real estates in your country. As soon as payment is effected and the amount mentioned above is successfully transferred into your account, we intend to use our own share in acquiring some estates abroad. For this too, you shall serve as our agent. You are requested to communicate your acceptance or otherwise of this proposal through my private email account as it appears, after which we shall discuss in details the models for seeing this transaction through. If, however, you are not disposed to assist, kindly destroy this letter in view of the confidentiality of the proposed transaction and interest of personalities involved. Thank you in anticipation of your cooperation. Yours sincerely, Chief Oyinbolo Echo.
Well, Chief Echo.
You know, that sounded oddly like a solicitation to assassinate somebody.
If I understand this correctly, they want to hire us as secret agents for Nigerians?
I think that's exactly what they want us
and,
to do.
And now that email is going to self-destruct?
It says it's going to. I don't know what it's going to do to the robot.
I think we're being asked to become... high-paid assassin secret agents of the government of Nigeria.
Rock on. Wow, we've got new jobs.
Cool.
You think they'll let us continue the podcast?
I'm pretty fast and loose with my politics.
Right on. I mean, all we got to do is submit a bank account number, apparently. We do some real estate transactions.
Sure, that's our cover.
That's what it's saying.
We're real estate agents.
This is awesome. Well, we got a job offer. That's awesome. We get to work for the Nigerian government. I don't know anything about Nigeria.
I don't either.
It's in Africa.
I think so.
Awesome. This is great. Well, Chief Echo, we appreciate your offer, and we're going to take you up on
what's
it.
What's his name?
Sorry about the Chief Oyin... What's his name? Chief Oyinbolo Echo? No. Tanya, what's the name on that? Tanya?
You there?
Chief Oyinbolo Echo.
Okay.
Thanks. Well, I don't know. That sounds about right. I mean, like, Chief Echo. Well, that's great. We get to be assassins now. Hey, everybody, we get to be assassins.
Cool.
Rocking on.
I'm going to start thinking of my code name.
Oh, we get code names. Awesome.
Yes.
Awesome. We can do podcasts from the field now. We can just let everybody know how things are going.
Cool.
Who we've taken out. Is that what it is? You know, who we whacked?
Liquidate.
Did they say liquidate? Oh, that's right.
Exterminate.
Because whacking is a gangster term. So we're...
Liquidation.
Liquidation.
Termination.
Not retirement.
Retirement.
No, that's the other bonus job.
I'm a problem solver.
That's right. A troubleshooter.
A cleaner.
Problem. No, I'm not so much a problem solver as a problem eliminator.
Sure. Well, we better get on that, man. Bank account.
Excellent.
I wonder if you take PayPal is what I want to know. I'm on it.
Oh, that's check right. Into that.
I am. Okay. I'm going to.
Okay.
As soon as we get off here, I'm gonna see how what we have to do to get a PayPal account.
Yeah, I need to know how long I have to go on eBay and get my multicam tack vest.
Yes.
Yeah, because you're going to need one now.
See, now I'm going to have to make another list.
Okay. our assassination list.
Do we need to learn any languages?
Anyway. Well, no, it doesn't say.
I need to learn some. Hey, and I pronounced a German word correctly this episode. You didn't bust me on it.
No.
Is Nibblewerfkörper right? Is that right?
Sounds good.
Okay, good enough for me.
Nibblewerfkörper?
Yeah, damn it. I didn't say the verf part.
Yeah, you put the W.
W.
Yeah, it's Nibblewerfkörper.
Damn it.
It's got an umlaut over the O. So it's cool.
Oot.
Yeah, it's actually.
Rock dots?
Rock dots.
I think it has rock dots. I'm not sure. I'll have to check when I get home.
Awesome.
Well, is that it?
Yeah. Another episode of Destructo Mudo down the tubes. Oh, my goodness.
There's a moderator when you need it.
Well, you've wasted another hour. That's like what the car talk people say.
What the hell is that?
Car talk rocks. Just so if you know it. And if you're listening to the show in lieu of Car Talk, it's a podcast, and you should just listen to it later after Car Talk.
What the hell are Annie's whole wheat bunnies?
They're good. They're okay. Like
we'll talk about that next time.
They're like goldfish, only they're bunnies.
Gold bunnies?
Yeah, they're bunnies.
Gold wheat bunnies.
Well, they don't taste like goldfish.
Okay. Well, anyway,
these aren't really as good as like regular ones. They're cheddar. These aren't cheddar. They have like very little cheese on them. They taste more like.
So actually, they're holy nothing crackers. Like goldfish. Right?
The other ones are. The ones that are cheddar, they're like whole wheat.
The ones that are like goldfish are kind of like goldfish.
Yeah, these
Bill's
are like
are
whole like the wheat shrimp goldfish. Chips? Like the shrimp chips?
Shrimp chips are nasty.
Get the hot garlic shrimp chips.
Oh, God.
French onion.
I think I'm going to throw up. All right.
Well, from Firebase Echo.
That's right.
I hope you learned something. Because we've strayed woefully off topic.
That's right. Hopefully they've learned it.
At least we get you started.
Yeah.
On getting stuff that could possibly be useful.
Yep. Get a hat. We didn't say get a hat, but get a hat.
Headgear's important.
That's on version 2 of the list.
Oh, yeah. Don't get a hat yet. Wait for version 2. All right. Well, from James.
And Ted.
And me. And the robot.
And the robot.
Tama Tanya.
Let's not neglect her. She'll sulk.
That's right. Sorry, Tanya.
And Prince Echo.
Chief Echo, and he works for the prince.
Okay.
I assume. Do they have a prince?
I don't know. I know nothing
about... I feel
gypped
we didn't get a prince contacting us. I mean, that would have been great.
We're not that.
They've listened to the show. We don't have any people... we forgot to thank our country folk, the people that have been listening. Canada. Thank you, everybody from Canada.
I just like to say thank you, Canada.
Oh, Canada.
That's right.
For being Canada.
Vacation land of people in Michigan?
Okay.
Because there's lousy places in Michigan to go.
I thought they all went south from Michigan. Do they go north to Canada?
I would.
Obviously, they can't go south to Canada. I don't know.
If I lived in Detroit, I'd want to go to Toronto.
I like Canadians.
So I could see what a clean city looked like.
Okay.
I bet our Detroit
I like Canadians. I've never been to Canada, but I like Canadians. They're nice people.
Yeah.
They're good people.
Yeah. Clean people. Even though they don't know how to say a boot.
A boot.
Yep.
Okay. But thank you, Canada, for listening.
That's right. We appreciate it.
To all our fans everywhere, a hearty thank you.
That's right. And we're out.